Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As I always say, but I think sometimes I forget to remind you, it's now or never. We're running out of time. This is why we kind of go through all the different content on this show, and this is why we really don't, this is not an entertainment show. As a matter of fact, entertaining shows can evolve and they can, you know, incorporate and focus on all sorts of different things, most of which don't really matter. Oh, it's important, you know, when they tell you the truth about something that happened, but that at the end of the day doesn't change anything. It may make you, you know, upset. It may get you, you know, infuriated, frustrated, stressed, anxious. It may do all sorts of things, but it does nothing in solving the problem. The only way to solve the problem is getting everybody to understand what government is supposed to be doing, what they're doing, and how it's not what they're supposed to be doing, and what it takes to get them back into doing what they're supposed to be doing and stop doing those things that they have no authority to do. Isn't that revealing? It's that simple. So the fact of the matter is truth doesn't evolve. As a matter of fact, the narrative of the entertainers has evolved because many of them accept unconstitutional government here, there, in this little form or that little form. It's conservative, and it's the accepted foundation of conservatives. Oh, well, it's okay that we control marriage, and we want to dictate we want the federal government to dictate that marriage be between a man and a woman. Well, hold on here. What's the difference between that and the other side saying that homosexual marriage is okay? What's the difference? It's not enumerated. The federal government has no position. They cannot take a position on marriage. We've never enumerated that power to them. They have no jurisdiction. Oh, but see, and some friends of mine kind of helped remind me of this just recently. And just let's just take a historical view on marriage. See, marriage was not an issue in the federal government at all. Do you remember when marriage was the first time the federal government stepped in on the issue of marriage? And it has nothing to do with, folks, it had nothing to do with homosexual marriage. It had everything to do with polygamy. And that was back in the 1800s because the conservatives wanted to go after the Mormon church. Because there was this insidious thing called plural marriage or polygamy that the Mormons were practicing, and they said, we got to stop this. And they demanded, even though it was not enumerated, they demanded that they go shut this down. And the federal government, by your desires, America, used its brutality in whatever ways it thought necessary to go after the Mormons. It got to a point where the Mormon church basically changed their policy to no longer believe or support the practice. Let's just say they no longer supported the practice of plural marriage or polygamy. Now, we know that there are, you know, other factions and groups, but the Mormon church really went down this path of saying, we're not doing this anymore. We do not condone this. We will not allow this. And they stopped. And you know, the facts are, folks, that that's when the conservatives, demanded that the federal government be involved in marriage. So, because you asked for it, now the progressives came along and go, you know what? They already have this role of dictating what kind of marriage. Now they will open up marriage for all. And now the federal government will dictate that all states must recognize marriage in whatever form pleases a person. This is how it works, folks. So the conservative side that says, oh, well, this is bad or that's bad. When it comes down to marriage, if it's not enumerated, the federal government has no jurisdiction. This goes back to the whole Roe v. Wade being overturned. The whole premise, the constitutional argument that the Supreme Court made, and they actually made it very clear that you couldn't make this same argument for everything else when it actually applies. In other words, pay attention to what we're telling you and don't pay attention to all the other things out there that are violations of the Constitution. But we're telling you that we have no jurisdiction over an abortion, that this is a state issue because it's not enumerated in the Constitution. But all these other things that aren't enumerated that we have no jurisdiction on, that we're dictating to you, those are legitimate. But this one thing we're overturning because, in other words, they got the one thing right. And then they said, but do not think we're surrendering our jurisdiction, our unconstitutional jurisdiction over all of these other things. Folks, you get what you get, right? And sometimes you get what you ask for. And we can actually get what we deserve. We deserve a system that was designed by the divine hand of providence that constrains government into the very few enumerated things. As we were closing up the show yesterday, I told you that those enumerated things are roles, responsibilities. In the Constitution, the federal government is given roles. Even the states have some roles and responsibilities. The federal government has responsibilities. And also, the federal government has very specific powers. Those powers are listed in Article 1, Section 8. The federal government, in many of other articles, where people think that those are powers, those are actually responsibilities with very limited defined powers associated with those responsibilities, like allowing or admitting states into the union. So when we look at the roles, responsibilities, and powers, well, that doesn't completely cover the enumerations within the Constitution, because the Constitution also identifies the properties that the federal government can possess. If it's not listed, they can't possess it. We have to amend the Constitution. Everything that they have within that Constitution is what they have been granted. If it is not there, it has not been granted. Therefore, it is usurped if they have something like property for forests, property for environmental purposes, property for anything other than those few properties that are enumerated. This is why we've color-coded the Constitution. We're going to get this thing up and finished. I've got some things I've got to do. Well, hopefully we'll have it done next week. If I get it done sooner, I will let you know. Believe me, this is newsworthy. But believe me as well, that as I started off this show, this is not a show of entertainment. I am not here to entertain you. I am here to help you. I am here to educate you. And I'm here to help you educate yourself. Do not take my word for anything. I'm not here to ask you to give me carte blanche, you know, access to how to think. I'm not here to ask you to have blind trust in everything I say. When I sit down and I talk to leaders, I have them read the documents themselves and tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me that I am wrong in how this simply states these things. How is that anything more than what it says? Folks, the truth does not evolve. This show may evolve in manners, you know, I may have videos, I may have different ways of delivering you the truth, a different paradigm, a different view, a different perspective of the truth, but it's still the truth. When we are here giving you the facts on what the framers actually said, then all I'm doing is delivering the truth. This radio program is about the truth. Reclaiming the Republic is based on the truth. I can't say enough, never trust me and what I have to tell you. Read the words of the framers, which is why I read them. I may not be the best. I'm not. But I know that if I'm doing it right, if I'm doing it so that it can't be, because even when I go into this, you know, oration, when I'm just, you know, talking in these monologues, I take a huge risk of possibly saying the wrong thing. And believe me, I have people listening and they say, did you really say that? And actually last year, Paul Venable called me out because I actually misspoke when I was talking about, and I forget what it was. It was something about, citizenship, that citizens don't have the, you know, constitutional protection, which was absolutely wrong. What I meant to say was only citizens have constitutional protection, and that non-U.S. citizens, regardless of where they are within their citizenship track, they don't have the full privileges and immunities granted by that constitution. They can't vote. They can't do a lot of things. But a person that's here legally in the immigration process does have some accesses where everybody else doesn't. If you're just a guest, you don't. If you're an invader, you have no rights here. You should be deported immediately. There's nothing legitimate about what you're doing if you are an invader here. We'll go into a break. We'll be right back.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was saying, you know, and as a matter of fact, let's just back up one step and let's look at every other government that exists. Now, the progressives look at, you know, different empires, like the Egyptian Empire is this, this romantic point in time where the whole world was enslaved to this one body of this one governing body out of Egypt, right? Isn't that odd that in America, academics, you know, philosophers, scholars, they look to some of these times as, you know, the best of times. You know, the best that all humanity ever offered. Are you kidding me? and you look at the level of suffering and the slavery, and how many people can look at the active governments today and how they evolved, how is it that they're not going through the same wokeness? Why is it that they're not under fire? Why is it that Egypt isn't being demanded by Israel and the whole world to pay reparations for the slavery that they invoked upon the world? And then the same thing with Greece, and then the same thing with Rome and Italy. Both Greece and Italy and Egypt, these empire points, right? And then Constantinople, then the Ottoman Empire, right? These points of empires. This is the same thing with China and the dynasties. It's the same thing with India. Look at how these governments evolved. And look at how they've danced along this line of inhumane and empowering themselves. Never. There's not one nation in the world, as much as England kind of looks romantic, it did not devolve and it did not create a new standard in setting aside its old ways completely and create a completely new government like the United States. When we look at how all the different governments that revolted and so forth, they all maintained a facet of this remnant of their old government, or the remnant of this, you know, political ideology, the, you know, the romanticism of the crowns, what have you. Did you know there are monarchs in the world today still? And I'm not just talking about England. Go find out how many crowns there are, and then do your research with the Bible, because when the Bible talks about the last days, it talks about crowns. And you'd be surprised how many crowns there are over countries. And you'd be surprised, you know, how these things are still being entertained and maintained in the world. Well, in Europe. Interesting. When we start looking at how it's all unfolding. But more importantly, when we start looking at all these other governments, what I want you to do is I want you to find me a government where it empowered everybody with the opportunities of being able to do the right thing. Unfortunately, our government constrained that when they acknowledged and went down a very tragic course of maintaining slavery with the Constitution. And within the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, there were direct conflicts. We can go through those things, because when you really look at the concept of a state having its own free destiny, that the fact that the Constitution demands that a state violate its own fundamental sovereignty in being able to become a bastion of freedom, like the northern states in standing up against slavery, and how the Constitution actually created, oh, you're sovereign in all things except, no, that was a violation. Those parts of the Constitution that actually supported slavery, those were few compromises that were stitched in that actually became antithetical to governing and sovereignty of nations as they started to be joining the Union. And even though the original 13 states may have said, you know, we abide by this, new states like Wisconsin and the northern states, Minnesota and so forth, they didn't. And they actually were instrumental in helping us evolve this nation to become the bastion of liberty it was supposed to be for all kindreds and tongues of people. All who wanted to come to, you know, enjoy this experiment of liberty. The only thing you needed to do, even though you may have spoken a different language, you needed to adopt to English. You needed to adopt to our law system, our monetary system, and so forth. It was required by the law. We are a republic, which is a nation of laws governed by the rule of law. When you look at American history and you look at these documents, it will just awe you. You will start to understand the divine hand involved in what this and how this nation was instilled, how it basically grew into this awesome experiment of liberty for mankind. Now, as we start going through the documents, which I'm going to be going through, I want you to understand why I have to read the words of the framers, because you can't take my word for it. You need to hear what these men said. And when you do, as far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. You will have a firm foundation in understanding that we have a government that serves individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and it creates a symbiotic relationship between the people and their local government, and their people and their state government, and the people of this great nation, that all these different levels of sovereignty are recognized and embraced by this form of government. That's what makes us so special. So, as we move forward, because I do need to get into the content, we'll get this constitutional, this colored, coded constitution up so that you can start wading through this and start going, oh, wow, I did not realize how many parts of the Constitution are being egregiously violated. What we also want to remind you is we've got this one-hour phone call that'll be coming up, and it'll be between 8 p.m. Eastern and or 5 p.m. Western, right, Pacific Standard Time. So it'll be, at that point in time, regardless of what time zone you're in. So if you're in Central, it'll be 7. If you're in Mountain, it'll be 6. And if you're on the Pacific Coast, it'll be 5. But it'll be a one-hour phone call of people meeting, hearing what they're doing and what they're, and I'll try to drive the itinerary to start off with. And in so doing, what we will do is we will get out to everybody so that they can, start embracing these concepts of how to build their organization. So with that, let me actually dive into, forgive me, I got distracted. It just seems like we've been, moving forward and moving on, but we got about 2 minutes. So I do have enough time. I thought that I actually ran out of time, but I don't. So let's get back to this thing called the Bill of Rights for the 21st century. And what it is it's really not a Bill of Rights. It's not amendments to the Constitution. These are the things and paradigms that we have lost and how we've somehow allowed these protections from the Constitution to actually subvert us, and where we've lost, the essence of things that are so essential in the Constitution. And there's nothing better than personal identity. Personal information and a person's identity is something that has been completely lost in our paradigms today. We have no appreciation for your right of being secure in your person. As a matter of fact, the Fourth Amendment, and I'm going to quote this because this is what the Fourth Amendment says. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched and or persons or things to be seized. So, folks, your name, your biometrics, your identifications, your anything that makes you you is immune from government being in any government records whatsoever unless there is probable cause. Now, one of the things I want to start off with a little story that there was a gentleman who was involved in a crime. He wasn't involved in a crime, but he was researched in a crime, and he was found to be innocent. And what they did was they did this DNA test to find out if he raped this girl or not or what have you. And it was proven that he didn't, that it wasn't his DNA at the crime scene. Well, what they did was they kept his DNA on record. And then down the road, when they found a crime and his DNA was there, then they convicted him on his crime instead of obtaining new DNA and expunging that DNA. And he won this case because, bottom line, government had no authority to maintain a DNA database on him and on all these criminals. And they're doing it, folks. They do this. So what we need to do is we need to take this break, and we're going to pick it right back up on this whole concept of DNA and a DNA database and moving forward.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so going into break, we were just talking about how the police department, law enforcement, decided to maintain a database of DNA, and come to find out a criminal's name came up when they never asked for that criminal's or petition for his DNA or what have you, and come to find out that that DNA was from that previous case where he should have been expunged. Well, here's the thing, folks. Even though they let this criminal go and they forced the law enforcement to basically expunge that because they violated his rights, and all of that evidence, I don't know the full outcome of the case, but here's the problem. You know, they identified the fact that the law enforcement has this huge database of DNA. Well, why did the court not go to law enforcement and say, you must now expunge all of these files of DNA that you have, and actually destroy it, because you have no right to maintain a database of the DNA of citizens of this state? Folks, we need to start stating the obvious, because the Fourth Amendment requires that they have to have a reason for obtaining that information. And if, for whatever reason, their obtaining that information didn't help them state a case of a crime or what have you, then it needs to be expunged. This concept that they can build a database and be able to identify, the fact of the matter is we have a right. This is a privilege and an immunity that we citizens have this right. If you're a non-citizen and there you've got this DNA and all of a sudden, well, we all have DNA. But if you're a non-citizen, then you don't have this protection of, you know, being in this database. But once you become a legitimate U.S. citizen through the proper process, then that information, if you didn't commit a crime, that information has to be expunged. So if they don't have the right to be able to keep that kind of data, that kind of information, then let's look at entities that government creates and government regulates. So a corporation is created how? A corporation stands up on its own and it creates its own law? No. A corporation petitions a state to incorporate, to say, we want to do business and we want to, you know, create products, whether they're growing food, it doesn't matter what this corporation is going to do. They have to go to the state, and the state basically, based on the Constitution, requires that these corporations cannot violate the rights of a U.S. citizen. The 14th Amendment, remember that amendment that so many people have a problem with, the 14th Amendment protects you from corporations being able to take your data. You have a right to be secure in your person, in your houses, your papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Well, if a corporation is holding on to it, then shoot, if you're smart and you're the government, you don't go and say, we want to seize this person's computer. Let's go seize the ISP's information because they have information on everything, right? Well, no, they shouldn't. They should not have any information other than what is pertinent for their billing and for them to function in providing you a product or a service. Your phone call records and all of that type of stuff may be nice, but government cannot be associated to that. And the fact of the matter is, when Amazon in the 1990s started giving the CIA and the federal government all of the data of its users, anybody that was on their website, what they looked at, what they were buying, and what they purchased, that right there violated your rights. Because government should not have been receiving anything from a private corporation. The fact that they have and have reached so far beyond the Fourth Amendment in obtaining information, well, what's keeping them from doing anything and everything else? The intent of this amendment was to constrain government from having unattested access to a person's personal information. This was to include relationships and associations as well. The government at any level was never intended to be able to monitor the activity of any individual without having prior notice or authorization by the court. However, this was an insufficient safeguard, since courts have proven they cannot be trusted to guard our constitutional rights. Look at the FICA courts. Or the FISA? Yeah, I think it's FISA court. We have made full circle when one looks at transparency in the relationships between the people and its servants. The reverse of this was the intent and design by the framers that we, the people, were to have full transparency of our government, not full transparency of us. Remember, it was to be for and by the consent of the people. And I have to go over these things because, you know, we have to help remind people this relationship. right? It's the consent of the governed. And what the federal government was doing was supposed to be available for the public, at a minimum, the people's representatives. It's right in the Constitution. They're supposed to report what they're doing with our money. They're supposed to report what they're doing with their time and our resources. We have a Republican form of government, not an aristocracy, not a monarchy, not a party form of government, not a democracy form of government. The only exception is national security. And what you do as a U.S. citizen should have nothing to do with national security. This whole concoction of home-based terrorists and everything else is unacceptable. The fact of the matter is, any person that speaks out against government cannot be labeled. And as a matter of fact, I am telling you, we have to have the opposite paradigm, and we need to get it applied quickly. That every patriot is not... Let's first back up. Let's distinguish between demagoguery and speaking out against the facts, because there's a big difference. Obama spoke and used demagoguery. Bill Clinton used demagoguery. Even the Republicans use, and Trump uses, demagoguery. When we're talking about government, we're not talking about this party or that party. We're talking about what the parties have done and how they're violating the Constitution. So one of the things I've learned in dealing with people is that you can really piss people off if you really stand the line and you hold them accountable. I had a neighbor that we didn't see eye to eye. We basically, butted heads. And I know, a good case in point, we had this one particular neighbor that refused to keep and take control of their cats, and their cat was coming into our yard and tearing our yard up, believe it or not. Anybody that has ever had cats that are kind of going to the wilding phase, they just tore up our lawn, and we had all sorts of problems trying to make our house and our yard nice. So when we finally reached this level of frustration, we started trapping the cat, and we would take the cat down to the Humane Society, and it forced the cat to want to be fixed, and he had to pay to pick up his cat every time. And the law stated that we can trap cats, or we can trap animals on our property. So we put up a little sign that said we were trapping. But bottom line, this guy got so infuriated that publicly, in front of our neighbors and everything else, threatened us. And at that point in time, I just put a smile on my face, got the guy back on his heels. He had no idea what he did. And I said, thank you so much. You have given me the best insurance policy I could ever want on my home. And he kind of looked at me, and I go, now that I have you threatening me and my household to do harm, if anything happens, regardless of whether you did it or not, you will be my number one suspect, and you will be the suspect of the law enforcement when they come around. So in other words, you've now put yourself over the barrel to be the guardian of my property and my rights. Because any other way, you will be suspected and arrested for any property damage that might befall me. My car gets stolen, my house gets egged, they will come and investigate you. So thank you so much for, providing me that level of security, because we now have you on record for this. And folks, it's the same thing. But the reverse needs to be applied. When we stand up and call government out on violating the Constitution, what we need to do is we actually need to demand that those people who are actually holding government accountable become immune. We get extra measures of protection from government being able to spy on us or hurt us. This enables us and empowers us. We'll talk more about this on the backside after the break. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so it only stands to reason. I mean, it only makes sense when when we actually demand that government actually highlight, when a person stands up and holds government accountable and actually points to a government official as corrupt, the very first thing that has to happen is a layer of full protection around that person needs to instantly be created. In other words, when a person actually stands up and says, you have no right. And so this has to be done publicly so that everybody understands that any type of crime, as a matter of fact, I've seen this, the Spokane County Sheriff's Office did this specifically, and the sheriff himself, the elected sheriff, had directed targeting of people to be followed. I mean, he had dossiers. The guy's finally, you know, gone now. They've replaced him finally. And I can't speak much about his replacement because his replacement was endorsed by him. In other words, you know, when you have a corrupt sheriff that, you know, moves on and they, you know, get it, the new sheriff is fully endorsed by this guy, what that means is that this guy is going to help hide the bodies that this other sheriff buried. You don't want that. You actually want to, you know, do a full turnover. You need to ensure that you go to a completely new, you know, the opponent of the person that's getting replaced. There's a reason why that person's leaving. There's a reason why that corrupt politician had all of this power. But the fact of the matter is what this sheriff would do is he would target these individuals. And they would be followed, and they would be intimidated, getting pulled over. I actually talked to a husband and wife that actually had an in-office meeting with the sheriff, and he pulled out a dossier on them, what they did, where they went. In other words, he was conducting an intelligence gathering operation on these citizens who were patriots. Folks, we need laws, and we need them now to protect patriots and people who actually hold government accountable. the apparatus of our government system is to target those who threaten government. When government is so corrupt, then that's who really threatened them when they start exposing their corruption, because they know. I will tell you, any and every time, it doesn't matter who it is. You could be a progressive or you could be a conservative. If you're exposed for corruption, you're going down. The only reason why Bill Clinton didn't go down is because the level of corruption was contained. Once it is out there, once the corruption is out to be proven, then it's too late. And I'll even prove this. Go read the timeline between the MSNBC news investigators. It was Curry and Winterm. And the link is right there on our Red State podcast page, Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic. Down at the very bottom, we have the congressional record where these two news journalists from MSNBC went to Congress and provided a timeline and testified the corruption machine of Bill Clinton's office. Now, one, I'm blown away that it was MSNBC that did this in 1796. Sorry. But the fact of the matter is that we need full protection from government so that when somebody actually does stand up, it instantly becomes boom. You know, everybody, okay, that person is now protected. If you want protection from government, all you have to do is speak out. We need to change the paradigm and no longer accept the fact that you can become an open target when you start speaking out on government, because the Constitution gives you this right. It demands that we hold them accountable. So we need to ensure that government takes the measures at the county level and at the state level, and then ultimately at the federal level, that any person that holds government accountable, a full audit needs to be done, that there is no investigations, that there is no person being asked, no person being followed, associated, because the Fourth Amendment states this, folks, that upon probable cause, so we have a right to be secure in our persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. This means that we have a right to have unattested access to do what we want to do, and this includes our relationships and associations. So, if somebody gets, or asked, but that's associated to you, they go, hold on, why are you doing this? Do you know Mobley? Well, yeah, and he's complained, and he's protected, and I, by association to him, is protected as well. How dare you? And then that officer or whoever is involved needs to be suspended immediately and actually investigated for violating our rights. Folks, they're not rights unless we start enforcing them. And this is why we have to enforce these. This is why this is so important, to go through this one part of the Constitution in changing how we view our privileges and immunities that need to be protected. This also goes to the DNA. This also goes to your basic private information. There's no corporation out there that has a need to understand who you are and to create a digital footprint. The fact that Google, Amazon, Apple, all of the big tech companies, Facebook and social media, are all working in expanding a digital footprint of every single person. In other words, it's a digital biometric measure of you. The fact that they're doing this should be ringing the loudest bells in your ears right now. This is wrong. Corporations have no right to be gathering that type of data. But they can make more money. You see how insidious this all is. It's not about what is best for liberty. It's not about what's best for you. It's not about what's best for us as a nation. It's about what's best for the global corporate communist world, because that's really how we're being pushed and moved. If you really look at who controls the information and why they control the information and the money, you know, then you can start understanding the direction and the open arms that are receiving us, because they've been doing things that are violating our rights. This is why your state needs to actually go after every corporation that demands that you have an identity. You know, I am absolutely insulted that Windows and Microsoft demands that you have an ID with their operating system, and that the only way you can function is through this login ID. Oh, well, with Windows 10, you had this opportunity of being autonomous, but with Windows 11, things are changing. You have to have an ID. Oh, this is all to track you, my friends. This is all about the insidiousness of government tracking you. And most people just jump right in. Oh, okay, well, you're going to make my life a little easier, a little better. But you're going to spy on me, but that's okay. I don't have anything to hide. Until the day you recognize how bad things are and you start doing things, and then you'll rue the day, because they're already monitoring anything and everything you're doing. And that's when you wake up and go, oh, shoot, I can't do this way. I can't live this way. And then what do you do? Folks, we need to demand our rights, and you need your state legislatures. This is why every single one of these issues in the Bill of Rights that we have out there, these personal rights, you're protecting your personal identification, the fact that your states are in bed with the federal government with the Real ID Act. This is why we've got a petition coming to do this. We have to place context to how your rights, your privileges and immunities are being violated. And anybody that wants to badmouth the 14th Amendment that demands that your privileges and immunities must be protected by your state, and they say that the 14th Amendment's a bad thing, then they're blowing smoke up your you-know-what. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that this, as we start understanding what we have in our Constitution and how integral all of these parts are, especially these important parts like the 14th Amendment, like the Bill of Rights, like all articles from 1 to 7 of the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, the 11th Amendment, the 13th, the original 13th Amendment. We're highlighting these things in this color-coded Constitution. Now, if there's some grammatical problems and grammatical errors, then, you know, it is what it is, because even the Constitution Society points out that there's extraneous commas that have been placed, but, you know, by whom we don't know, but there's these commas that have been kind of popping up in the Second Amendment and so forth. That doesn't really change the context of it, but folks, this is how they're playing around. And this is why we need to get back to basics. And I'm doing everything I can to get us to that starting point. We're very close. We have the facts, and we can prove what we need to do. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.